This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I'd like to welcome you all here this morning, 13th Sunday after Pentecost. We'll follow your service to receive on the way in, beginning on page 3 with the confession and absolution, followed by sharing the peace and the processional hymn. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated at the confession. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you to our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us rise and share the peace of the Lord with one another. God, and rejoice in your good gifts of life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word.
Amen. rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
Love God
love your neighbor. Let's say that.
Love God, love your neighbor.
So the thing is, too, these people, they were washing their hands good and washing their cups good, but then most of them, they just acted like good jerks to each other and hated other people. They were like stealing houses from old ladies because they'd be able to take things. And so they were sort of acting like they were kind of religious when they were around other people, but during the rest of the week, they just acted like terrible people. So which day should we be Christians? Which day should we act like Christians and love God and love our neighbor? Which day do you think was?
Every day.
Exactly right. It's not just Sunday. We don't act one way on Sunday morning and then the rest of the week act some other way. We act as Christians every day. And that's hard to do. And we struggle with it because we're all by nature sinners. But we confess our sins and we go the next week trying again. To meet your question. His name Christian? Okay,
cool.
All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us the commandments. Help us to follow them and forgive us when we don't. Amen. All right, I have cookies for you. So we're going to not cookies. They are bare burning cookies. So go ahead and take one bag of cookies and then just check your parent before you eat them. And we'll continue with the sermon next.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Husband and wife are out for a walk around the neighborhood. It's a beautiful evening with just a hint of cooler temperatures. As they come around the corner, a huge, angry dog is blocking their way just 10 feet ahead of them on the sidewalk, and the dog's ears are forward. He's baring his teeth. He's barking and growling, the hair on his back standing up. He appears to be ready to pounce. What should the husband do? A, grab his wife, put her in front of him, to use her as a shield. B, trip his wife, push her to the ground, and then he runs away. Or C, step between his wife and the dog and be willing to be bit rather than let her be bit. I'll get there. That's all right. Marriage is a mysterious thing. Those who are married know that it is an ongoing struggle to be the husband that you should be, to be the wife that you should be. Our epistle lesson today brings us difficult and challenging teachings about marriage, and the first three verses, unfortunately, have often been misused and misapplied. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. The danger in these verses is that the man hears this and he thinks that he has power, that he's in charge of his wife. He's the boss, the king of the castle, and his wife needs to do what he says like an obedient servant. But is that really what the Bible's talking about here? Taking a few verses of the Bible out of context can be quite risky, so let's keep reading. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And how is a husband supposed to love his wife? A husband is to love his wife like Christ loves the church and gives himself for her. As men, we like the idea of being the boss, the king of the castle, master of my domain. But that is not the model that we have for being a husband. The model for being a husband is to love your wife like Christ loves the church. Jesus comes to serve, not to be served. He washes his disciples' feet. Christ fully gives himself on the cross of Calvary to save his church. A husband is called to give himself fully for his wife and children. That's why when the lifeboats are filling up on a sinking ship, traditionally it is women and children first. That's why the husband uses his body to shield his wife from the teeth of the angry dog. And you do this because Jesus steps in front of you to shield you from the teeth of the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loves the church. The husband is to make his wife and children feel safe and protected and loved. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church. Sanctify your wife. Cleanse her. Present her in splendor without any spot or wrinkle, holy and without blemish. Jesus died to forgive your sins and the sins of the world. Jesus washes you in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus covers over your sins. He takes your sin away from you and he puts it on himself. Jesus takes responsibility for your sin. Husbands are called to do the same for their wife. Too often husbands and wives are in the fault-finding business. They're critical of one another, always looking to point out the other's deficiencies. Marriage becomes some kind of a contest. This should never be. A man is called to love his wife like Christ loves the church. A man is not to see faults in his wife. Instead, a man is to take his wife's sins and faults and make them his own, just like Christ does for him. A man is to see his wife as holy, without spot or wrinkle or blemish. In the Kenny Chesney song, The Good Stuff, an old bartender relates what the true good stuff is to a young husband who's come to the bar after his first big fight with his wife. And the bartender tells him, "And it's the way that she looks with the rice in her hair, eating burnt suppers the whole first year, and asking for seconds just to keep her from tearing up. Yeah, man, that's the good stuff. The good stuff is a husband covering his wife's faults." Wives, submit to your husband sounds like a hard thing to do, and it is. To voluntarily put yourself into the care of another is to lose me as you become we in marriage. For men, loving your wife like Christ loved the church is also a great submission. The man loses me as he becomes we and gives himself completely into caring for his wife and children. Husbands like Christ give. Wives like the church receive. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. The wrong-headed concept of the husband as boss dissolves away in his call to servant leadership of the family based on the love of Christ. Marriage is amazing. Marriage is mysterious. Marriage is sacred. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. In this one flesh union, God willing, children will be conceived, nurtured, birthed, and raised. By nature, the wife bears the burden of childbearing and nurturing, and most often the lion's share of raising the kids. But she does it knowing her husband will provide and protect. Marriage is a beautiful mystery. St. Paul says this mystery is great. The mystery is how Christ was hidden in marriage, but now he is visible. Now it's been revealed that marriage is based on Christ and the church. In marriage, we get a picture of Christ's love. Marriage is instituted by God in the beginning and is given for our benefit. Jesus teaches us that as redeemed children of God, you should love God and love your neighbor. This is an impossible standard, but one, as a forgiven child of God, you strive to live out each day. When you fail, you confess your failure, you repent of your sin, you receive forgiveness from the Lord, and you continue to strive to love God and love your neighbor. God's plan for marriage is also an impossible standard, and yet a wife strives each day to voluntarily submit to her husband's Christ-like loving care and protection. A husband daily tries to love like Jesus. Marriage is not easy. It is a daily struggle to do what you have been given to do in a fallen world. And the world does not help. The world around you, with its selfishness and pornography and hookup culture and no-fault divorce, is trying to destroy your marriage. The cultural elites of this nation are doing all that they can to destroy God's institution of marriage, while they themselves still mostly practice traditional marriage. Strangely, while they try to destroy the traditional family in order to cause chaos and dependency for everyone else, they know the value of marriage for themselves. But they want to reshape marriage. They want to redefine marriage. In many places now, it is considered hate speech to say marriage is the lifelong union of a man and a woman. If folks find out that you believe this, you can be fired from many American companies who will not tolerate such radical thinking. Of course, it was perfectly normal thinking up to about 5 minutes ago, but now it's considered to be dangerously radical. A Lutheran bishop in Finland has been arrested for writing about this in a booklet back in 2004. In 2015, the Supreme Court of the United States invented a supposed right for two men or two women to get married. And now you are told that you must believe that marriage is the union of any two people who love each other. Society is confused. Folks pretend they no longer know what a man is or what a woman is. You can get banned from social media and fired from your job for saying a man cannot have a baby. The cultural elites desperately desire to force you to believe there is no difference between men and women. They want to force you to believe that a man can simply declare himself to be a woman, and that makes him a woman, because feelings are more important than facts. But this is not really a surprise, because these same people want you to believe that the life created inside a woman by the one flesh union is not actually a human life, unless they declare it to be. They believe, teach, and confess that their feelings trump facts. But you know the truth. You know that men and women are different. Men and women are complementary. Men and women are made for each other and made for the great mystery of marriage, which is a picture of Christ and the church. And as much as some women bristle when they hear wives submit to your husbands, most women really do want a man who loves them unconditionally, a man who is their strength and support in the hard times, a man to hold them and comfort them in times of trouble, a man who provides, protects, and God willing, procreates. Finding the right man or woman to marry can be very frustrating and difficult. Sometimes it's impossible. Pray for patience, pray for God's will to be done, and remember, it is better to remain single than to marry someone uncommitted to God's plan for marriage. Planning for marriage can often be so much about the details of how to dress, what food to serve on the wedding day, but infinitely more important is to prepare to live out God's plan for husbands and wives. This will be a daily challenge to reject your natural selfishness and live out your forgiven life in Jesus. It'll be a lifetime of forgiving each other as Jesus forgives you. A lifetime of love and respect. A lifetime of striving to love like Jesus, because he first loved you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
Life.
Our prayers today for Rebecca Cross, who has cancer. Jeff Snell, their latest son, who's in home hospice care. For Sandy, a neighbor of Janelle Fonz, who's fighting cancer. For Kevin Beck, a friend of Rochelle Myers, who's been infected with COVID. For the family of Don Engel, Morris Kramer's brother, who died this week. And for the family of Lori Mee, a friend of Ken Freeman's, who died this week. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a true faith, we honor God not just with our lips, but serving faithfully with all our heart, mind, and strength. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the baptized children of God, that they may find joy and hope in the waters of holy baptism, and rejoice in the forgiveness of sins that Christ freely pours out in the saving flood. Let us pray to the Lord.
The Lord, have mercy.
For all Christians, that we would not reject God's commandments or the doctrine of men, but rather keep God's commandments in thought, word, and deed, honoring Him in all that we do. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For husbands and wives, and wives would submit to their husbands, and husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For children of all ages, that they would not despise or anger their father and mother, but always honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those facing difficult life and death decisions, that the Lord of life would guide them and lead them to make God-pleasing decisions, affirming that life is a precious gift from God. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nations and its leaders, all civil servants, those whose work imperils them for the sake of their neighbor, for the people of Afghanistan and Haiti, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer physically, emotionally, spiritually, on account of illness or mourning, including Becky, Jeff, Kevin, Don's family, and Lori's family, that God would encourage them with His word and grace, and He would bless all medical professionals with the skills necessary to give relief and care to their pain where possible. Let us pray for the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who partake in the fellowship of this altar and receive Christ's body and blood this day, that God would strengthen their faith and sustain them by this holy communion until life everlasting. Let us pray for the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love. shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him in death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead, and lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praise you and say, Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us the Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he is for us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you all.
and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Thank you.
salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you